for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Sunday afternoon 1:15 Ladies Meeting, August the 31st, 2008. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on the curse of the bastard and law of jealousy.
Well, there are just several things that I felt led to do. The first thing is, many of you have been born under an illegitimate curse, or a curse of a bastard, if you haven't had that broken. I know that I found out just a few years ago that my great-great-grandfather was illegitimate, and that my grandfather's mother and father were cousins. So I was born under an incestuous. In fact, when children are born in incest, it's sometimes the kids are mentally off. So it's a wonder I even have a brain. So thank you, Lord, for your grace. But anyway, a curse of incest and a bastard curse goes 10 generations. And that's like 2,045 forefathers. The other curses go 3 and 4 generations, which is 30, 32, 36 forefathers. But I found out that I was under a curse of illegitimacy, and then I found out I was under a curse of incest, and then I found out I was under the curse of, I was shocked when I found out that my great-grandfather and great-grandmother were cousins. And so that put me under a curse of incest, a child born from incestuous unions. And, you know, I have seen learning problems. I thank God that God let it skip me, I guess, because he knew that I was going to be in the ministry and that I was going to repent. And I've been repenting for all those things for years. But I've seen nieces and nephews that have had learning disabilities. My sister had a learning disability. And so when you break a curse, it's like you're not really saying, Lord, forgive me for granddaddy's sin. But what you're saying is, you're saying, I'm stepping up in my bloodline, and I recognize all this mess coming down generationally, and I'm going to take it. Somebody in my bloodline's got to take accountability for this. And so I stand up in my bloodline, and I say, I am the one that will take accountability for these curses coming down, asking God to break them, and then I'll put them under the blood of Jesus, and I say, you can go no further. Amen? And so how it affects you is, my family members don't even believe in curses. They're bad. They're Baptist, and Baptist churches have a lot of good things about them. But I've discovered that a lot of churches are not even teaching the Word. Are they leaving out parts of the Word? Not that we have all the light here. I don't go a lot of places because there's so much mess out there that it's a waste of time. But I like to come to Lake Hamilton because, I mean, I've heard Clement. I'm telling you, Clement is one of the last great men of God. He is so anointed, and he is so God. He reeks godliness. He reeks God's glory. And then the brother Oliver that wrote the book, The Sons of Zadok. I mean, you hear the greatest teaching here. And so I like to come because it changes my life. God uses it to change my life. But we can stand up and we can break those curses off our children. And how it affects us, if I take accountability for my bloodline, that means that covers what happened from my sister, from me up. So that means that curses are being broken off of my sisters that don't even believe in curses. My dad just passed away in March. It means it was breaking curses off of his blood, off of him, because it came down his bloodline. It's like somebody's got to take accountability for the mess that's come down, and we have, all of us have wickedness in the generations. If you have an Indian ancestry or Polynesian ancestry or even African ancestry, for sure you know there's occultism coming down in those generations. Now, and people that are not African Americans or Indian or from the Caribbean, I mean, we can all have them. It doesn't matter what color we are. And I think I've already apologized to the African Americans in here. God's no respecter of persons, and these two ladies here are two of my dearest friends. And so I thank God that heaven is. God loves all of us. He's no respecter of persons, and if we think He is, we won't get to heaven. Amen. God says, you know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. If you say you love God and you hate your Christian brother, the Bible says you're a liar and the truth's not in you, for how can you love God whom you've not seen if you cannot love your brother whom you've seen? So God is love, and God wants us to love our neighbors, and He wants there to be healing in families. He wants there to be healing. He wants us to be people that are light, that show forth the light and glory of God. But the two curses in the Bible that go 10 generations is incest and the curse of the bastard. And, you know, the Bible says Levi paid tithes when he was in the loins of his father, grandfather, or his father Abraham. Well, Abraham was Levi's grandfather or great-grandfather, was not his father. So if Levi paid tithes when he was in the loins of his great-grandfather or grandfather, and that would be a good thing, what's that to say about the negative things that pass down our bloodline? There can be good things. The Bible says a righteous man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but an unrighteous man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. We're not necessarily talking about monetary things. We're talking about an inheritance of wisdom, an inheritance of goodness, kindness, or negative, an inheritance of perversion, sexual sin, alcoholism, coming down the bloodline. And so God wants, when we are dealing with our sin, like I shared when I shared about repenting over the word. When I get through, I might spend however long I spend repenting over the word. And then when I get through, I'm getting ready to finish, I take accountability. I forgive my forefathers for sinning the same with the, committing the same sins that I just confessed, that was a sin of mine, whether I think it was applied to me or not. And then I break soul ties with my forefathers, and then I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses of whatever came down on me through my forefathers through the sins I've confessed. You can do it quicker that way, because if you just break the generational curses over every scripture, you'd be there forever. And so almost every African American in the South is born under an illegitimate curse. I was born under an illegitimate curse. And if it's not broken, it'll loop another day. Every day that it is not broken, it'll loop. A person that's under an illegitimate curse or a curse of bastard, they feel like they're always on the outside looking in. There's a curse of rejection, a root of rejection, which causes a person to be a man pleaser, or causes a person to fear man, or always wanting to be accepted, compromise, I'll do anything, you just love me. A person that's under an illegitimate curse will almost always, if they don't do it, their children will do it, the curse will continue. A child that's illegitimately conceived, is because he's conceived in lust. He's born with a spirit of lust. And, you know, you don't have to lust for... I've never lust for sex, but I've lust for food. What's the difference? You know, I quit sugar for 7 years once, and I'd go out with my husband, and I would insist that he eat a dessert, and I'd sit and watch him and lust after it. Now, that's sick, isn't it? But that's the truth. I got my kicks out of watching him eat it. So you can lust for many things. You can be a shopper. You can be a person that lusts after everything in the mall. You can lust after food, after alcohol, after sex, after relationships. A person that's born under the curse of a bastard is born under a spirit of shame. They're shame-based. Usually an illegitimate child never knows their father, so they don't have the glory of the father on them. The scripture says the glory of children is their father's. If a child has an earthly father, that's a godly earthly father that would be given a good inheritance to his children, then the child has like an aura or like a nimbus around his head in the spirit realm. You know, I shared about a prudent person has a crown of knowledge in the spirit. I mean, has a crown in the spirit realm. A child that has a good earthly father has a crown around his head. And I could bet this precious Diane could tell you the children that have a godly father, it's almost like they are promoted in every area versus the child that doesn't have a father. He doesn't have that aura in the spirit realm. And the demons say you can pick on him because he didn't have a daddy. But a child that has a daddy, it's like he's got a coach. Always somebody running alongside to encourage him and to bless him. And a child with a father has a glory or an aura. And so illegitimate children, most of the time, don't have a father. Most of the time, the mother gets pregnant and the kid never knows the daddy. Or, you know, the daddy, maybe they see the daddy once or twice in their life. And a lot of you don't have the glory of your father. But the best glory you can have is the glory of your earthly father, God the Father. Whenever you forgive your earthly father for leaving you a bad inheritance, you can, after you get the unforgiveness and all the bitterness confessed and out of the way, then that clears the way for you of your heavenly father, which is the best glory you could have. And then when the powers of darkness look at you, they say you better leave him or her alone because they've got the glory of the Father. And it works the same with the physical Father. But the greatest glory you can have is God the Heavenly Father. And go, if you will, to Deuteronomy 23. But, you know, one way it affects you, I always felt like until I got delivered and the curse was broken off me, I always felt like I was on the outside looking in and never could understand. Chapter 23 of Deuteronomy, verse 2 says, "No one of illegitimate birth shall enter the assembly of the Lord. None of his descendants, even to the tenth generation, shall enter the assembly of the Lord." And so first I want to deal with this curse of illegitimacy. The assembly of the Lord, or the sanctuary of the Lord, would be like a spiritual place. Like a person that's illegitimate feels like they can never fit in, never get there. Something hinders them from being in the presence of the Lord. And it's because it's a spiritual place in the spirit that you can't see with your physical eyes. Just like the scripture says, the name of Jesus is a strong tower. The righteous can run into it and are safe. The name of Jesus is more real than this building. Even though you can't see it with the physical eyes, it is a place of safety. It's Psalms 91. It's the highway of holiness in Isaiah 35. It's the place of if your ways please the Lord, it makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. So it's your safe place. And so what I want us to do is I want to break, whether you know if you were under an illegitimate curse or not, I want us to break that curse, and then I want you to get a partner, and I want you to bring him into the sanctuary. Some of you have already done this, but some of you haven't. Okay, so pray with me. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me if I've conceived any children illegitimately. And Lord, I forgive my forefathers or my mother or father for conceiving me illegitimately and letting me be born under the curse of a bastard. Now, I've heard people say, well, you know, my mother and daddy conceived me before they got married, but they went ahead and got married. It doesn't matter. The sin was committed before they were married. The other day I was reading one of Peter Horben's book, and by the way, he's not into flaky stuff. Anyway, I was reading one of his books on deliverance, and he said that there was a lady that manifested epilepsy, grand mal seizures. And as they ministered to her, they discovered it came in because she had premarital sex with her husband before they got married. So see, spirits come in when you sin. Even if you get married, spirits come in through the sin. You get the demons of whoever you have sex with. And I've heard people say, well, you get the same demons your husband has because you're one flesh. Not unless you compromise. If you violate the word of God, yes, you'll get your husband's demons. But if you don't compromise, you won't. Because that keeps you protected. Even though you're one flesh, don't compromise. And so even if you're, you know, even if you've been into sexual sin and then you, whether you've got pregnant or not, you need to renounce that and break soul ties so you can get rid of the demons that came in. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for sexual sin. For every person I've ever had sex with. Why don't you just stand up and ask the Lord, and then sit down when you're through, and it'd be between you and the Lord. Just repent of every relationship you've had with men, women, animals, any kind of perversion. Right? There's people that have sex with animals. That's bestiality. But, you know, there's even people that'll let animals lick them. That's bestiality. And an unclean spirit comes in through that. You sleep with them. And then there's people that sleep with them and they don't do nothing perverted with them, but they just sleep with them. The lady that used to do my nails, they slept with their chihuahua for 20 years or 18 years, and that dog had a bleeding esophagus, and so did the man of the house. So did her husband. See, through a soul tie, that dog got the same bleeding esophagus that the man had through a soul tie. So, and you know, you've seen through soul ties, people begin to look like they're animals sometimes. If they have an inordinate affection for animals, they can look like they're animals. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they've been into bestiality. It just means through a soul tie, they get a part of the animal. The animal gets a part of them. I'm taking enzymes all of a sudden, digestive, some enzymes, and I noticed the other day it had ox blood in it, and I'm saying, dear God, I don't think I need to take that anymore. So, anyway, you know, I don't want any kind of ungodly soul ties. I break soul ties with my dogs, and I'm not into any kind of perversion with them. That's my tent-making job. That pays my bills is selling little puppies. But I still break soul ties with those dogs because there's unclean spirits in those dogs. Last time Dr. Null was teaching on an unclean spirit, I thought, well, I don't have that. And then the Lord said, those dogs, you need to break soul ties with those dogs. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, if you just stand up and repent of anything that you've done sexually perverted with anyone, even looking at pornography, if Jesus says that you commit adultery just through looking at somebody with lust, that opens you up to a soul tie to whoever you look at. And most pornography is made by the Satanists, and so they put curses on those things. They put hooks on those things. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask for the truth that sets me free. And I tell you, just this instant, I just got another revelation about the ox blood. God says it has nothing to do with blood. Duh! Just now hit me. So trash it goes. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask for the truth that sets me free. Lord, have my forefathers been into perversion? Have I been into perversion? Was I conceived illegitimately? Did I conceive children illegitimately? And see, if you've had sex with multiple partners, that will open you up to female problems. if you have had sex with different individuals and you have not broken the soul ties, they get a part of you, you get a part of them. They get your demons, you get their demons. They get your sickness, you get their sickness. They get your addictions and you get their addictions. You get their demons and they get your demons. And so if you have had sex with multiple partners or any sexual sin, you have a soul tie with whoever you sinned with, and whatever body part was touched, that person or animal is still there until you break loose the soul tie. In the spirit realm, if you can see a soul tie, it links a person. Like if Sister Patrick and I had the body of Christ has good soul ties, but there's evil soul ties too. Jonathan and David had a good soul tie. But anytime there's a violation of the Word of God, there's an evil soul tie. And I will break soul ties with that ox whose ball I got. So in Jesus' name, Lord, I break soul ties. Well, first of all, ask the Lord to show you, what I was going to say is, that through a soul tie, for example, if you've had intercourse, the people you've had intercourse with are still up inside of you through a soul tie. And that explains why maybe if you were not a promiscuous person, but then you fall into sexual sin and all of a sudden you want sex all the time because you got the sex demons of whoever you had sex with. So, Lord, I ask for the truth that sets me free. Show me every person or animal or forefather or any person who incested me, any relative that I've had sex with, who's touched me inappropriately. I ask you to let me see their faces. And Lord, I want to renounce those relationships. And I can say, even if you've read pornographic books or pornographic novels, you know they're pornographic if they arouse you sexually. So Lord, in Jesus' name, show me everything I need to repent of. I want you to ask God to forgive you and forgive whoever you were involved with. And then when you're through, if you'll sit down, we'll break the soul ties. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for sexual sin with people, animals, looking at pornography, reading books, looking at pornography. Forgive me, Lord, for adultery, for lust, for fornication, perversion, bestiality, conceiving children illegitimately, my forefathers, I forgive them for conceiving my forefathers and me in illegitimacy in Jesus' name. And Lord, forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me, Lord, by the blood of Jesus from all defilement. And I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut and sever every cord of control linking their souls to mine. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. Now I command all defilement, all fear, all bitterness, all sensuality, all adultery, homosexuality, perversion, lesbianism, adultery, fornication, bestiality. I command you to go now. Move in Jesus' name. Mental illness and sign of gonorrhea, blindness. Did you know that's one of the causes of blindness is a curse of gonorrhea? I haven't had that, but I broke the curse. Just in case. You don't know what your forefathers did. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. All spirits of blindness that came in through generational gonorrhea, we break. And Lord, I take accountability and forgive my forefathers for committing all the sins that I've just now confessed. I ask you to forgive me, God. And Lord, I stand up in my bloodline and I take accountability for whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, will you start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through the generational iniquities of the forefathers. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses in the name of Jesus of adultery, fornication, alcoholism, bestiality, homosexuality, illegitimacy, incest in Jesus' name. I take accountability. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses, and I command all spirits of illegitimacy to be broken. I break the curse of the bastard. I break the power of that lie that to have love, I have to have sex. I break the power of that weakness in me that would cause me to compromise, that would run after human flesh instead of God. I command every spirit to loose them now in Jesus' name. I break your power over them in the name of Jesus. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. I break curses of the bastard, curses of illegitimacy, curses of incest. We break soul ties with any relative, blood relative, that had sex with us, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, or even lusted after us. We break soul ties. We cut and sever every cord of control, linking their souls to ours. We call back our soul and spirit from them. We send back their souls and spirits to them. We exchange their image for the image of Christ. And we forgive every blood kin that touched us, had sexual thoughts toward us, molested us. We forgive our mother and father for not protecting us. We forgive them for telling us they're going to kill somebody if we tell, that they'll tell everybody it's our fault, it's a lie. We break curses of guilt in the name of Jesus, every lying spirit that it's our fault. We break the power of a craving for love in Jesus' name. Lord, come and fill that craving right now in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Now get you a partner. And let me do you, and then I'll let you do. I forgot your name. Okay, what I want you to do is say, and don't let your feet stick to the floor. Okay, do that, and then I'll pray some more. Go ahead and praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Everybody get a partner. Sister Patrick, you have to pull her easy. I think you've had that broken though before. Velma can do it easy. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Break that curse. Bring them into the sanctuary of the Lord. Bring them into that spiritual place. They're no longer standing on the outside looking in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, mighty God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Did you feel yourself get in there? Some of you felt that, didn't you? Isn't that amazing? And some of you didn't feel anything, but that's okay. That's a whole different message. Praise the Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now you don't have to be rejected. And you know, if you're a person that's always hopping in bed with somebody, you've got to find out, why do I have this need, you know what I'm saying, to get involved? Why do I compromise? What weakness in me, God, do you want to heal that I'm looking to some human flesh for comfort instead of you? And that goes back probably to not being loved growing up, not being nurtured or held or cuddled. You know, I was blessed to have a nurturing mother. She breastfed me till I was 2 years old. I used to say, "Mother, why didn't you spank me?" She said, "I could have killed you and it wouldn't have done any good." But I resented that she didn't discipline. You know, she didn't. My dad disciplined me. He didn't have to spank me but 4 times. And I remembered all 4, and I still obeyed him even on his deathbed. Okay, the next thing that I want to deal with, and hopefully, I'm hoping that we get you out of here a little bit earlier, but I can't promise because I don't know what God's going to do, but is on spiritual adultery. Now, when you pray a prayer to receive Jesus, you're going to be the bride of Christ, men and women. And if your heart goes after something else, you commit spiritual adultery against your bridegroom, Jesus, because you're going to be his bride. Men are going to be his bride and women are going to be his bride. And so if our heart goes after idols or other lovers, we commit spiritual adultery. And our other lovers are just some of them. You've got to love me. You've got to communicate with me. You've got to give me affection. You've got to talk to me. You've got to protect me. You can't hurt me. I want somebody that'll carry me. You got to be on time. You see, wherever your parents violated the Word of God in training you up, that's an issue. Because the law of God is written on your heart, and God tells parents, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So a father either brings a child up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord according to the Word of God, or he provokes him to anger. Well, there's no parent that's perfect that's not going to blow it in a whole bunch of areas. And those areas that your father blew it is what you have to overcome right now. That's why when somebody comes to me for prayer and they say, well, this is always happening, well, you were trained up for that to happen. Train up a child in the way he should go and he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should not go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. And so everybody has a different set of things to overcome based on the violations of their parents in bringing up their children according to the Word of God. So if you grew up with a real dysfunctional family, you probably have more issues than when we, not probably, you'll have more issues than you would if you had a parent that was godly. And very few of us, you know, I had a good dad and mom, but my dad never took me to church. But I would have never heard about Jesus if it hadn't been for him. But he never took me to church, but he was saved when he died. And he never prayed. And see, when I got married, the big issue between my husband and I is he never prayed with me. I never got the connection. My daddy never prayed. I never remember my daddy praying, and maybe a couple of times in my whole life. I mean, I know he prayed, but he didn't pray for the family. He was not the high priest. And so my issue was my husband had to be the high priest, which he never was. And see, when you judge people, you lock them in a prison, and as long as you've got a log in your eye, their speck isn't moving. Your beam in your eye. The other day, I know that floaters in your eye, one of the roots of that is having logs in your eyes. King James says a beam in your eye. The other day, I was in my prayer room, and I said, God, I got a beam in my eye. I don't want it there. God, tell me how to get rid of it. I don't know how. You see, I live in the country, and I can scream real loud, and nobody thinks I'm crazy. That I know of, that's right. Unless there's somebody hiding in the woods. But I forgot what I was going to say now. So, Lord, in Jesus' name. So, anyway, the beam in your eye. Okay. When your parents fail to keep the Word of God in training you up, you judge them unconsciously. Because little children don't know to go to God and say, Lord, I forgive my dad and mom for not loving me, not providing for me. And so we let the sun go down on our anger. And what happens, then that sets in motion forces for life to not go well in the areas that I have dishonored my mother and father through not forgiving them. And it seems like every time I teach here, I say that because this is the key to everything. When the problems you're having right now, they're a rerun of the problems you had as a child and you didn't overcome, and now you have another chance to do that. But a spiritual adulterer is a person that has other lovers besides Jesus. And these other lovers come in childhood. When you let the sun go down on your anger, you don't go to mom and dad. I mean, you don't go to God and forgive your mom and dad. You make a judgment. You make a promise you make yourself. When I grow up, life isn't going to be this way. So these things are the things that cause the negative emotions, the hurt, the bitterness, the anger, the resentment, the fear. It's all idolatry. And so all of us have committed spiritual adultery against our bridegroom Jesus. Okay, go if you will to Numbers chapter 5, please. Numbers chapter 5. And this is called the curse of the law of jealousy. Now, in the Old Testament, in Numbers 5, if a man thought his wife was committing physical adultery. He would take her to the priest, and the priest would mix some dirt off the floor, put water in it, mix it up, and make a woman drink it. If she was innocent, she was immune to the curse. But if she was guilty, her stomach would swell and her thigh would waste away. And so let's start reading verse 19. And the priest shall have her take an oath and shall say to the woman, if no man has lain with you and if you have not gone astray into uncleanness, being under the authority of your husband, be immune to this water of bitterness that brings a curse. If you, however, have gone astray, being under the authority of your husband, and if you have defiled, now this is talking about physical adultery. If you've gone astray, being under the authority of your husband, and if you were if you have defiled yourself, and another man has, your husband has had and another man other than your husband has had intercourse with you, then the priest shall have the woman swear with the oath of the curse. And the priest shall say to the woman, the Lord make you a curse and an oath among your people by the Lord's making your thigh waste away, which means your thigh could be emaciated, fall away, become emaciated, to make naturally, unnaturally thin from the loss of flesh, caused to lose flesh or to waste away. It could mean leanness. And it could be, it can mean as a limb or a thigh that, or a body part that just falls away. And your abdomen swell, which is your belly, especially the womb where a fetus is conceived. And the swell means to heap together for oneself, to grow turgid, to grow swollen, bloated, distended, bombastic, a fine sounding, meaningless, language, to be inflated. And so if she's guilty, that's what happened. Her stomach swelled, her thigh would waste away. And then down in verse 27, when he has made her drink the water, then it shall come about, if she has defiled herself and has been unfaithful to her husband, that the water which brings a curse shall go into her and cause bitterness. And her abdomen will swell and her thigh will waste away, and the woman will become a curse among her people. But if the woman has not defiled herself and is clean, she will then be free and conceive children. So that's also one of the roots to barrenness. Now, there's people that have committed spiritual adultery that have lots of children, so it doesn't necessarily mean that they won't have children. It could mean they won't have spiritual children. This is the law of jealousy when a wife, being under the authority of her husband, goes astray and defiles herself. So you see physical problems, bloating, stomach swelling, thigh wasting away. That could mean hip problems, leg problems. And that's for physical adultery. Okay, go to Ezekiel, please. Ezekiel, I believe it's Ezekiel 16. If it isn't, we'll keep looking until we find it. Okay, Ezekiel 16. Now, spiritual adulteress is the same thing as a harlot. Is that right? Wouldn't you say that? An adulteress is a harlot? Okay, verse 30 of Ezekiel 16. How languishing is your heart, declares the Lord. Now, he's talking about spiritual adultery this time. He says, how languishing is your heart, declares the Lord. So you see there's heart problems there. Some of you, I heard some of you say you've had strokes and heart attacks or maybe heart surgery. See, one of the things before you, now that you know the truth, before you have the heart surgery, repent over all the heart scriptures, and you may not even need the surgery. I had a lady email me. She said, my heart has a atrial, I have that, and I'm fixing to have something done or some surgery. I said, over the internet, I said, do a word study on heart. She said within an hour after repenting over heart scriptures, her heart just settled down. You see, the root to heart problems is violating the Word of God. The root to all of our problems is violating the Word of God. Okay, it says, verse 31, when you build your shrine at the beginning of every street and made your high places in every square in in disdaining money. You were not like a harlot. You adulterous wife who takes strangers instead of her husband. You see, he's saying that a spiritual adultery is not like a physical adulterer. A spiritual harlot is not like a physical harlot. And he's going to tell you why. He says, you adulterous wife, speaking about being the bride of Christ, who takes strangers instead of her husband, Christ. Men give gifts to all harlots, but you give your gifts to all your lovers to bribe them to come to you from every direction for your harlotries. Thus, you're different from those women in your harlot, those physical harlots in your harlotries, in that no one plays the harlot like you do because you give money and no money is given to you. Thus, you're different. So what it's saying here is the physical harlot, she gets paid for what she does. And probably a lot of times she's not even interested in it. She just wants the money. But a spiritual harlot, we pay our lovers. Just love me, I'll do anything. Just be kind to me, I'll do anything. Just, I can say, you know, my daughter-in-law at one time was an idol in my life. I mean, I would babysit for her, I'd cook whatever she wanted, I'd take her food, I would pamper her, I would do everything because I wanted her to love me. Because my mother, see, this goes back to the root, my mother and my daddy's mother did not like one another. So I made a vow as a little girl, when I grow up, my daughter-in-law and I are going to be best friends. Well, that was an idol. You see, when you make an idol out of a person, they'll always turn on you. Because God says you'll have no other lovers besides me. I have a good relationship with my daughter-in-law now. But I went through about 5 years where she absolutely turned on me for God to teach me this. You see, when you make an idol out of a person, you don't speak the truth in love to them. You don't tell them when they have a bad attitude they need to straighten up. Right? You compromise the Word of God. So you're not like the physical prostitute out there that gets paid. You pay your lovers. Just do anything to love. I'll do anything. You just love me. And the Bible says when you do that to people, a satiated man loathes honey. But to a famished man, anything bittersweet. So the Lord taught me that. You're just giving them too much honey, so let them get hungry. See, God uses that to restore, not to be mean. You get the logs out of your eyes. And then you do what the Lord tells you to do and just leave it to the Lord. So he's saying a spiritual adulterer is different than a physical adulterer. Verse 35, therefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 38, God says, thus I'm going to judge you like women who committed adultery, physical adultery, or shed blood are judged, and I'll bring on you the blood of wrath and jealousy. Now just put Numbers 5, 11 through 30 there. He says, I'm going to judge you spiritual harlot just like I judged that physical harlot back there. He says, I'm going to give you into the hands of your lovers, and they'll tear down your shrines, demolish your high places, strip you of your clothing, take away your jewels, and leave you naked and bare. And see, God lets them turn on you because he's wanting to break the idolatry in your life. He says, they'll incite a crowd against you, and they'll stone you and cut you to pieces with their swords, and they'll burn your houses with fire and execute judgments on you in the sight of many women. He says, then I'm going to stop you from playing the harlot. Hallelujah. Amen? So things that backfire, God's in it because he's trying to bring us to repentance. Okay, go to Matthew 22, please. Now, you can find this same thing. That was Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16, and now we're on Matthew 22. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son, and he sent out the slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, tell those who've been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatted livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. Now, Luke 14 says, one said, I married a wife, I'm too busy, I've gotten married, blah, blah. It says, and he seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged and sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city afire. Then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast. And those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both good and evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king, now this represents Jesus in the marriage supper of the Lamb, but when the king came in to look over the dinner guest, he saw there a man not dressed in wedding clothes. Now you just saw in Ezekiel 16 where spiritual adultery causes you to get your clothes ripped off. Did you just read that in Ezekiel? How many of you remember reading that? Okay, hold your place. Go back to Ezekiel. I want you to see this. That spiritual adultery causes you to lose your spiritual clothes. And every area you're not covered, you get hit. If your ways please the Lord, it makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. Okay, let's go back. We're going to come back to Matthew. And so hold your place, but go back to Ezekiel because I want you to see this. Verse 38. Let's go to 38. Ezekiel 16, verse 38. Therefore, I'm going to judge you like women who commit adultery and shed blood, and are shed blood are judged. And I'll bring on you the blood of wrath and jealousy, and I'll give you into the hands of your lovers, and they'll tear down your shrines, demolish your high places, and strip you of your clothing, and take away your jewels. You see that? Y'all see that? Okay, now back to Matthew 22. So Jesus is having a wedding feast, and he's inviting the guest. He found some more. And then he comes, and he says, but when the king came into his look over the dinner guest, he saw there a man not dressed in wedding clothes. You see, his clothes had been stripped off through harlotry and adultery. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. You see, there's many people that pray the prayer to receive Jesus. Many people. But many people, they just get content, well, I've received Jesus and that's it. I prayed the prayer 14, 15, 30 years ago. And I haven't allowed myself to be involved in the sanctification process. As Clement was talking about being changed from glory to glory. Every time I deal with an issue, I get a brighter part of the glory gets brighter. As I decrease, the glory gets brighter. Glory to God. And the darkness is taken out of my life, and I have more light, as I shared with you yesterday. And so he says, there's many called, but few chosen. And the chosen ones will be the disciples, the ones that let God discipline them. You know, and I'm not saying, you know, I don't teach once saved, always saved, and I don't teach save, lost every time you blow it. But you know, salvation is a walk that begins when you receive Jesus. And if you continue to walk, Jesus said, you will be denying yourself. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. So the ones chosen are the ones that are going to deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow Jesus and walk in the Spirit. John 12 says, if you give up your life, you lose it. I'm sorry. If you lose your life for my sake, you find it. You hold on to your life and you'll lose it. So for us to have the walk of salvation, we have to continually be giving up our life, decreasing, choosing God's way over our way, and it's a walk. And sanctification will never, positionally you're sanctified, But then the scripture says you have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And so, Hebrews 12 says, without holiness, no man will see God. New American Standard says, without sanctification, no man will see God. Well, how do I know what needs to get sanctified next? What's the problem today? Right? What am I angry about? What? Why am I afraid? Why am I depressed? And then trace that to the root by just saying, God, what are you trying to show me through this? Deal with it, and it always goes back to either you need to get forgiven for something or you need to forgive your mom and dad or somebody else. You understand that? And so those turkeys in your face are mirroring what God wants to change in you next. Hallelujah? And so I know that I've got an idol anytime I react. Because see, wherever there's an idol, you're touchy. Hello? You have a wound. Wherever you have an idol, you have a wound. Because you see, you didn't turn to Jesus in your pain. You turned to an idol to comfort your heart, and you stayed wounded. Go to Jesus with all your pain. Deal with people, the turkeys, forgive them by sundown, and there's no pain there. And so, anything that makes me react, if I'm reacting outwardly, or sometimes, you know, you can react inside and you're just reacting, but you're still smiling, right? But you're reacting on the inside. So wherever you react, either consciously or unconsciously, it's tied in with an idol, a place where you're committing spiritual adultery. And God's so merciful, or He'd have killed us all. And he doesn't drive them out in one day. It's a process. But if you want the greatest deliverance of your life, get in the Word of God and just start repenting over it. Every day, it'll be a day of deliverance. Okay, I want to read some things about a harlot. The harlot is referred to Babylon the Great, mother of harlots. Harlots give birth to harlots. Disciples give birth to disciples. Mother is the church who gives birth to harlots or disciples. So the church is either producing disciples or they're producing harlots. All this flaky stuff that's going on every place is producing harlots all over the place. Because they don't know nothing about crucifying the flesh. In fact, some of the major, I could name four out of probably six or eight, and I think maybe they might be into something too, but I don't know that. But I could just say four of the seven most popular prophets here in this country have been into sexual sin. One is a homosexual, an alcoholic. Another one would making people and women undress while he prophesied over them, and he's one of the major ones. Another one is an alcoholic and committing adultery, and another man that lives in South Tyler, his church split because he was committing adultery. That's why they don't teach on sin. It's kind of like the pot can't call the kettle black. Anyway, so this is what a harlot does, and I'm just going to give you the scriptures. It says in Proverbs 6:26 that a harlot hunts for lives. And if you're sitting under doctrines that are, if you're sitting under spiritual adulterers and harlots that are teaching, then you're going to become like your teacher. That's what the Word of God says. Jesus said in Luke 6, after a man is fully trained, he becomes like his teacher. So if you're sitting under those kind of doctrines, you're going to become like your teacher. And so a harlot hunts lives because she's controlled by Satan. That's Proverbs 6:23. For on account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread, and an adulteress hunts for the precious life. And it's talking about spiritual adultery and physical adultery. Ezekiel 16 says she multiplies her harlotries to make God angry. Ezekiel 23:30 says she defiles herself with her idols. Ezekiel 23:35 says she forgets God and casts Him behind her back. Ezekiel 23 says she's naked and bare. Nahum 3:4 says she's the mystery of sorceries. This is going to tie in with one world religion, too. A lot of these guys that are forerunners in the prophetic movement today are Knights of Malta. And the Knights of Malta is an occultic organization that's kind of like an army kind of thing. And their allegiance is to the Catholic Church and to the Pope. The leader of this movement is a Knight of Malta. And just pull up Knights of Malta and pull up prophets that are Knights of Malta. That ought to be an interesting search. Okay, the characteristics of a harlot. Proverbs 7:10 says she's cunning of heart and dresses in a seductive way. Proverbs 23:27, it says she's a deep pit and a narrow well. Proverbs 22:14 says her mouth is a deep pit. And how I see this, I see people that are involved in this movement, and it's like they fall into the pit, into the mouth of the harlot, and they never from that day forward are ever interested in repentance ever again. I'm sure Patty, being here at the camp, has seen that. Maybe some of you have seen it. They're into all this flaky stuff that leaves out repentance, and then they're not interested in repentance anymore. They want the warm fuzzies, or they want to be knocked out, spiritually drunk, or something like that. Hey, we better be sober in the days we're living in. Isaiah 1:21 says, she's full of murder and no justice or faithfulness. Isaiah 23:16 says she will be forgotten. Jeremiah 2:20 says she has a price. In other words, can you be bought? Jeremiah 3:1 says she has many lovers. Ezekiel 16 says she trusts in her own beauty and her own importance. Ezekiel 16:28 says she's not satisfied. Ezekiel 16:30 says she has a bold face and languishing heart. Hosea 2:5 says she acts shamefully. Hosea 5:3 says she produces double fruit, fruit for the Lord and fruit for God. And there's, like Clement was talking about, a mixture. Nahum 3:4, she sells nations and families with her sorceries. Proverbs 29:3, she wastes her wealth. And I'm paraphrasing rather than read the whole thing, but write these down and look them up or pull them up on the computer and repent over them. Ezekiel 16, she bribes and pays her lovers. Job 24 says, no one will see me. It says, in the eye of the adulterer waits for the twilight, saying, no eye will see me, and he disguises his face. She flatters with her words, Proverbs 2:16. The Bible says if you flatter somebody, you're laying a net for their feet. She exhilarates, Proverbs 5:20. Her lips drip honey and she has a smooth tongue, Proverbs 5:3. She flatters with words, Proverbs 7:5. She destroys her victims, Proverbs 6:32. She's boisterous, Proverbs 9:13. The Bible says she's more bitter than death and her heart snares and nets, Ecclesiastes 7:26. The consequences, she gets eaten like bread, Proverbs 6:26, for on account of a harlot she's reduced to bread. God divorces faithful Israel for her harlotry. Hosea 4:10 says she'll eat but not have enough. Boy, I've been under that curse. Have you ever eaten and 5 minutes later you're hungry again? See, I had two great-grandfathers that were Baptist preachers, and I had a grandfather that was a Baptist preacher. And there was spiritual adultery. And I remember being at a seminar once teaching on the curse of the law of jealousy, and a little girl came up to me, and she said, oh, my leg hurts. This is a little girl about 7 or 8. She said, oh, my leg hurts. And she was under the curse of the law of jealousy. I broke that curse off her, and God healed her leg. And she hadn't been old enough to even do anything, but it was a generational curse. Hosea 4 says she's led astray and falls away. Hosea 4:14, she's ruined. Brother Oliver was talking about Ezekiel 44, how God leaves in two priesthood, the priest that ministers idols before the people, which is what you see about 99% of what's going on out there. And then you see the priests that make a distinction between the holy and the profane. That's for his remnant. You see, y'all are remnant people, or you wouldn't be sitting here listening to this. I'm sure there's probably some people already left, maybe, because they don't like to hear a word like this. But you know what? Like I told someone earlier, it's kind of hard to tell people the truth. But let me tell you, if I don't tell you the truth and we don't tell you the truth, we're not helping you. We might as well quit the ministry, far as I'm concerned. If you're not being helped, then I'm wasting my time, and so are you from listening. I mean, I'm not into playing church or any of that. I want to see people. You know, this morning there was a precious man, and I was really hard on him. I told him he needed to get saved. And probably people with a gift of mercy probably thought I was being mean. But let me tell you something. I've watched that man for years and years and years, and his problem is he needed salvation. And to me, it takes a greater love to try to keep somebody out of the pit of hell than it does to just hurt their feelings. But I don't think I hurt his feelings. I think he hugged me, and I think he appreciated me telling him the truth. There was another little man here that I have known his wife for years, and he's been totally lukewarm, and he came here for healing. Listen, I've seen that man was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I said, "Are you saved?" He said, "Yeah, I know I'm saved. You've been born again?" "Yeah, I'm born again." And finally, I said, "Brother, I don't discern you're born again," because I had known his wife for a long time. That man got baptized in the Holy Spirit last night, or earlier. He's speaking in tongues now, and his whole countenance is different because he's not just a religious church member anymore. God's done a work in his heart. Okay, a harlot gets ruined. Hosea 4:14, her sons and daughters will fall by the sword, and she'll go into exile. Micah 1:7 says her earnings will be burned. She'll be judged in Revelation 17. She'll be put to death in Leviticus. She was put to death in Leviticus, and I guess that was physical adultery. She'll be hated by the one world order. I love this one. Made desolate, naked, her flesh will be eaten, and she'll be burned with fire. Revelation 17:16. It says, "And the 10 horns which you saw and the beast, these will hate the harlot and will make her desolate and naked and will eat her flesh and will burn her up with fire." The very thing she represents is going to destroy her. She's led astray and falls away, Hosea 4:12. She's ruined, Hosea 4:14. Isaiah 14:22 says her name, her survivors, her offspring, and her posterity will be cut off. She'll fall along with her images and idols and be shattered to the ground under God's judgment. Now, that's the harlot. There's a harlot church system out there that's not teaching people to put to death the deeds of their flesh. And they're producing little harlots. And the church is full of harlots. And you know what? I thank God that He has taught me about repentance. It's His grace. It's God's grace that He would let you hear what you've got to hear the last 2 days. This has been the most awesome camp. In my opinion, I've been coming 10 years. I think this has been the very best. We're privileged that God would even let us know the truth that will make us free if we yield to it, if we receive it in our heart. And so there's Babylon represents the harlot church system out there. And then Babylon is also any church member that wants to live after his flesh. A harlot is someone who wants to live after their flesh, spiritually or physically. And you know what? Don't think that because you're so bad that God is going to throw you away. Your only thing God expects you to do is give up and yield to Him. That's it. He does the rest. He makes you holy. He makes you righteous. When your daddy and mother's had conceived you, God had a plan in mind for you. He had a destiny for you. Not one of you in here is wasted. Not one of you in here is garbage. Not one person in this room, God did not have you in mind when He let you be born, and He has a purpose for your life. as you yield and you think, you don't have to go around looking for the purpose. What is it? What is it? You know, God, should I be like so-and-so? Should I be like so-and-so? No, just yield to the potter, and the potter fashions the clay to what he originally designed for it to be. The potter turns the potter's wheel. He takes the junk out of the clay. He fires it. He beats the bubbles out. He adds water to make it pliable. A whip for a donkey, a bridle for a mule, and a rod for the back of a fool. And it's the potter's job to make you into what he designed you to be. But you'll never fulfill your destiny till you yield to God. And it's not even your business what he wants to do with you. Right? And if you think, well, you know, I want to be a beautiful Grecian vase, or however they say that. I don't want to be this old ugly gravy bowl. You know what? And jumping to, I'm going to get off this potter's wheel. I don't like what he's doing. That doesn't work. You know, when you're going to fall off, we all, because we're going to sin. Whenever you sin, confess your sins and get back on. You fall off, get back on. You fall off, get back on. You fall off, get back on. And you know what? Jack Taylor used to say, you know, you'll sin less and less. And it's true. I thought that was impossible. Not that I don't sin every day. I'm telling you, the more I walk with God, the more I think, dear God, I need to get saved. So, I mean, I'm not saying that in pride. But 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So when you blow it, don't beat yourself to death. Don't think you're just too bad. Tell God you're sorry and get back on and submit to him. Okay, stand up. And Lord, in Jesus' name, show me all the areas of my life where I've committed adultery, Lord. Lord, I ask for the truth that makes me free. I ask you to cause the eyes of my heart. Lord, give her a little dynamite power to get her up. Y'all, I want y'all to extend your hand to this sister. She is the most determined. When I met her, she was in a... No, don't help her. Don't help her. Lord, we ask you to give her the power to get up in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. When I met her about 5 years ago, she was in a wheelchair, and then she walked with one cane or two canes, and then one cane and a walker. I'm telling you, this woman is an overcomer. Hallelujah. Lord, bless her ministry in Jesus' name. Strengthen her more every day, Lord. And Lord, let me know the truth that makes me free. Show me all the areas where I'm under the curse of the law of jealousy. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for committing spiritual adultery. Forgive me for harlotry. Forgive me, Lord, for giving birth to harlots, not teaching repentance, hunting lives, which has caused me to be reduced to a loaf of bread. God, forgive me for multiplying my harlotries, defiling myself with idols, casting you behind my back, which has caused me to be naked and bare. Forgive me for sorcery, being cunning of heart, wearing harlot's clothes. Lord, forgive me for spiritual adultery that's caused me to lose my clothes. Lord, I ask you to clothe me now with robes of righteousness. I want you to lift your hands up and receive robes of righteousness. Lord, I ask you to let your robes of righteousness come down and cover your children. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to take control of this meeting in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. You can put your hands down. Bless the Lord. Lord, forgive me that my mouth has been a deep pit. I have been a narrow well and a deep pit. Forgive me for murder, injustice, unfaithfulness to you, which would cause me to be forgotten. Forgive me that I have a price that I could be bought off. Forgive me for having many lovers, trusting in my own beauty and importance, being dissatisfied, having a bold face and a languishing heart. Forgive me for acting shamefully and producing double fruit. Forgive me for selling nations, and forgive me for sorcery. Forgive me for wasting my wealth, giving bribes and receiving bribes, thinking no one will see me. Forgive me for flattering people with words. Forgive me that my lips have dripped honey and I've had a smooth tongue and I've flattered with words. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for destroying my victims, being boisterous, not retaking accountability, wanting to blame others. Forgive me for being bitter, and that my heart has been snares and nets, and my hands have been chains, and I've captured sinners, and I've been a sinner. Lord, forgive me for my sin that would cause me to get eaten up and you to divorce me and to say, you never knew me, and me to be burned with fire and put to death and made desolate and destroyed by fire. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I take accountability for spiritual adultery, harlotry, and physical adultery and harlotry that's come down through the generations that would cause me to be ruined, my posterity to be cut off, and me to be burned and judged. And Lord, I've come out of generations of harlots, and I forgive them, Lord. And forgive me for the sins I just confessed. Lord, I take accountability for whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers, all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, I stand up in my bloodline and I say, this goes no further. I'll ask you to let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through physical adultery, spiritual adultery, prostitution, physical adultery, spiritual adultery. And I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses in the name of Jesus. And I break the curse. I ask you, Lord, to break the curse of the law of jealousy over me that would cause me to be spiritually barren, physically barren, that would cause a bitterness, my thighs to swell and my stomach to swell and my thigh to waste away. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses, and I break soul ties with my forefathers. Every person I've sinned with, I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut and sever every cord of control, linking their souls to mine. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I command every spirit of adultery, harlotry, go in Jesus' name. All Babylonian spirits out. All sexual demons out. All defilement out. All compromise. All double-mindedness. All neediness for somebody to have a relationship with. In the name of Jesus, I break your power. I break your power over every life in Jesus' name. And I say this has to come off my children and my descendants. I say it goes no further in Jesus' name. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. What an awesome God you are. You're worthy. You are worthy, great Jehovah. You are worthy, mighty God. You are worthy. worthy, mighty God. Praise you, Lord. How many of you felt some deliverance? You see, a lot of that was coming down generationally. Now, you know, that's why when God shows you an idol, you have to let go of it. You see, there's many idols you don't even see yet. Thank God He doesn't deliver you from everything in one day. You couldn't take it. Look how hard it is to let go of one thing. Can you imagine letting go of the millions and millions of things in your life? And so as God shines the spotlight of His Holy Spirit on it, that's when you get rid of it. And you're just clay full of junk, just like I am. But as you yield, He takes the junk out, takes more darkness out, puts more light in, and you get brighter and brighter and brighter. And on the day of the Lord, you will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of your Father. And did I say, Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace? I said that? Okay, Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Glory to God. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and give you more peace. And I hope to see you at the next Lake Hamilton camp.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.